Today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online is brought to you by Stamps.com. Right now, you can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a four-week trial, plus postage, and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in ghost. We're nearing the 200 episode mark of EPP bonus episodes with Real Ghost Stories Online, and they just keep getting better and better.
I walked down the hall. Something was wrong. One of the doors to the old classrooms was open. I wish I would have ran past, as I can still see what I saw in my mind today. Standing on top of the desk in the middle of the room, staring right at me, was a little boy. His face was pure white. And when I say white, I mean literally white. And his eyes were very dark, sucking back into his skull.
When you sign up to be an EPP extra podcast person at ghostpodcast.com, you get access to every single EPP bonus episode and exclusive video content as well. There's now two ways to be an EPP. You can sign up for $5 a month through our website or follow the link at ghostpodcast.com to become an EPP through Patreon.
I finally decided to talk to this freaking thing and demand answers. Alone, I sat in the quiet and asked if there was anything there. I told it to let me know it was listening.
Membership started just $5 a month with bonus tier options on Patreon at $10 and $20 levels with extras including advanced commercial free episodes of our regular show, bonus perks and more.
After a moment there was a knock on the wall. I was scared but pissed and I said, "Are you the one who won't leave me and my son alone?" Which was followed by three loud bangs on my wall. I cried and ran and hid. I couldn't do this anymore.
This show can only survive through your support of being an EPP. Sign up now at ghostpodcast.com and keep Real Ghost Stories Online on the air. Thank you for your support.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802. Or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You're about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is. The phone number is 855-853-4802 to share your real ghost stories with us. You can write it on the website, realghoststoriesonline.com, or you can even email your audio file to me. Just send it to Tony, T-O-N-Y, at realghoststoriesonline.com. Lots of ways of getting those stories into us. Tony and Jenny Brewski joining you once again.
Hi.
And how are you this fine day?
I'm good. How are you?
Doing well. Had our corned beef and cabbage earlier, although by the time this airs, St. Patrick's Day will have been about a week or two ago.
Well, and this was about a week before St. Yeah, Patrick's Day.
It really was. I mean, because the holiday is still a little ways off, but the place that we had lunch at, they were having their St. Patrick's Day festivities, food selection today, I guess.
Yeah, it was kind of odd, but it was good.
It was tasty. I can't. I have to say, actually, this is the first time I think I've ever had the cabbage. And actually didn't feel repulsed by it.
It wasn't sauerkrautish.
I'm not good at the sauerkraut thing. Mm-hmm. Like that was, as a kid, that was the quickest way to make me not like anything remotely around this food product.
Yeah.
I didn't like corned beef for the longest time because I thought it was, it had sauerkraut flavor. Because it would always be the, and to some this is like the ultimate comfort food. To others, it's like the worst thing in the world.
I've never had it to where it was all cooked together to where that taste was in the corned beef. I've always had it cooked separately, and I love corned beef that's not cabbage infested.
I don't know if it's like a Wisconsin casserole type thing where, you know, they just kind of put everything together in a crock pot, but every way I've ever seen it was always like the crock pot of sauerkraut, not just cabbage. I mean, literally sauerkraut. I mean, very German influenced up there, so that may be why they added that in there. But it would be that with the corned beef and whatnot all in the pot, and then the acidity of the sauerkraut, because sauerkraut, there's more to it than just cooked cabbage. I mean, that's there's like a lot more to it. That would all seep into the meat and everything. It's like, oh yuck, just that. I eat almost anything.
Yeah.
Sauerkraut is one of those few things that to me, I just can't do. I can't. I can do it on a Reuben. But I'm not. I can't ever do it like as a side.
Yeah.
And that was always how I envisioned corned beef and cabbage. But today was like, oh, this is just cooked cabbage. It doesn't taste like a whole hell of a lot. but it also didn't have any repulsiveness to it either.
I can't eat something that I find smells terrible.
Yeah, there was no smell.
Right, and so that's why I probably have never... I've never tried sauerkraut because I can't get past the smell.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, that to me is it's a difficult thing. Mm-hmm. It's the same reason that durian's not like one of the big popular fruits that are out there.
Right.
So like, hey, durian fruit snacks, you know.
That's gross.
It smells like a corpse, but...
Ew.
If you ever want to really get back at a place that you work for, go to the local... I found it in an Asian market, and they have durian. It's a fruit that's grown in that part of the world, and fairly popular with some cultures. I saw it on like Food Network, and it was one of those things where it was like, oh, it smells like death, and a lot of airlines don't let you take it on the plane with you.
Sure,
but apparently it just tastes amazing. So I found some. This was about 10 years ago. And I was just thrilled. I was all about food at the time, too. Oh, I found a durian in the United States. So I got it, and I tasted it. And it wasn't bad. The taste was fine. It was kind of vanilla custardy. It was unique. I get why it's a very unique thing. But, yeah, you did have to plug your nose. And the smell, I think, as air hits it, the longer it gets into the air, it oxidizes or something, the more it smells like you are eating a corpse.
That's so gross.
I imagine that's what the smell in the world of The Walking Dead must be like.
Okay.
It's just permanent durian smell. Maybe to the point where you actually got a durian, if you were in The Walking Dead, you'd be like, oh, isn't that a fresh smelling fruit?
Nice.
Where that makes it smell good. But I can only imagine it must smell horribly like that everywhere you go.
Yeah.
Anyway, I had the durian and I decided, okay, I'm done with this after a couple bites. And I threw it away in a trash can at the end of the hallway at the radio station with a lid on it.
So it got heat?
Well, it was like it was indoors. Uh-huh. It was an industrial sized trash bin. It wasn't just like office corner trash bin.
It's terrible.
And I really didn't have any negative intent. I thought because I sealed it back, I put it in the plastic bag that it came in, sealed it up, you know, like you would with.
Yeah, yeah.
Put it in there. And this is a trash bin that I know like got taken out once a day to the dumpster. That's why I put it in that one. And all of a sudden, people are like, I went back to the studio, didn't think anything of it. Like 2 hours later, there's like half of that part of the building are like, I'm seeing them walking down the hall, covering their mouth and their face or their hand or their shirt. And I'm like, oh. And they're like, what? We think something died in the trash can.
Oh, gosh.
And I'm like, I wonder what that is. And I just kept going on about my day. They eventually took the trash can outside and then it got, you know, they got rid of it. I think I told them what happened several years later.
That's so gross.
There you go. Just an idea. Case you want to might be like considered like a terrorist incident now or something just for like for like smell
yeah
the trauma of it. I don't know. 855-853-4802 is our number at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, you are on the air. Let's hear your story.
Hi, this is Blanca again. I got a couple of stories for you. When I was 9 years old, my parents bought a house in La Puente, and people that sold the house to them, they sold it because their son in his mid-20s had passed away in a motorcycle accident. Well, the parents lived in the main house, and the son lived in a guest house connecting to the main house. So my parents move in. We move in with us, the kids. My parents go through a divorce. My dad moves out. My mom gets the house and the kids, and we're living there, so my mom rents out the guest house for extra income, and she rents out one of the bedrooms to my sister's boyfriend. They're much older. And so he lives in that bedroom, and we weren't allowed to go in there without his permission. So one day, everybody goes out and leaves to school and work. Well, my brother and I had to stay home that day because he wasn't feeling well, and my mom had asked me to stay home with him and babysit him. And so we stayed home, and we snuck into my brother-in-law's room to play Sega Genesis. And we were like, oh my gosh, we're going to get in trouble. We're not supposed to be here. So it's early morning. It's like 9 a.m. We hear the front door open and close. And I'm like, oh my gosh, he forgot something. He's going to come into his room and we're going to be in really big trouble. So my brother's panicking. I'm like, oh, it's okay. So I go look in the, through the window, because in his window, you can see the front of the yard, the street, and our driveway. I don't see his car parked. I don't see anybody else's car parked in our driveway or in front of our house. And he's like, is it him? Is it him? My brother's asking me, and I'm like, oh, yeah. And I said, okay, just stay very quiet. We hear somebody in the kitchen opening cabinet doors and closing them and hear water running. And a couple seconds later, we hear the door open and close, and I run to the window to see if I can see somebody walking. Well, I don't see anybody walking out of the house. At this point, my brother goes, is he gone? And I said, yes. He's thinking it's my brother-in-law that came into the house. Well, I don't think it was anybody but the ghost. So several years passed by. Nothing. I mean, several other things happened to me in that house. I would feel somebody go down on my bed as I was laying down. I would just say, okay, I don't want you here. Go away. The bed would just kind of go back up. We would speak to the people that would rent out the house, and they would tell us in the middle of the night they would hear the refrigerator open and close. Nothing bad. He's still there. So one day we sat around, my sisters and my mom, and somehow, some way, someone said a story. And I said, oh my gosh, that happened to me too. And so everybody's had the same identical story of coming into the house, going into the kitchen, and leaving the house. Same thing, we've rented out the guest house to several different families, and they all have similar stories saying the refrigerator door opens and closes and the cabinet door opens and closes. Nothing freakish. I guess he's a cool ghost that still thinks he lives there, and we're okay with it. I think we're just all sensitive, including my daughter. I called earlier about that story with my daughter and the night terrors and the little girl waking her up in the middle of the night, asking her to play with her. I think I'll call back and get some more stuff. Thanks.
I think that'd be very confusing if you, like, this guy died fairly young and then you try and go visit your family doesn't live there anymore.
Yeah, and you're wondering, what happened? Where did it go? Am I in an alternate dimension? Am I, like, now you're dead?
I wonder if that explains a lot of the, what we consider just passing through ghosts, you know? Nobody died in the house, but they just kind of show up, and maybe they're confused. Maybe they're looking for somebody that used to live there, but they then end up leaving.
Maybe, I could see that. I mean, once you're gone, if you can really travel and do whatever you want and go see whatever you want, I wonder how many are just kind of like, today I think I'm going to go visit my childhood home, or I'm going to go visit this or that that I once saw in life, and just curious what it looks like today. And you just kind of go around. Maybe you come back and visit it every now and then. It's like, we don't see the ghost very often, but maybe once a year it shows up. And maybe that's just, I decided to come back today. I was kind of bored and thought I'd go look at that. I would do a lot of sightseeing. I'd be like, that's been a long time. Just I wonder what that's like now. I'd be always checking stuff out.
I would be a snooper. I'd want to see how homes I used to live in now look.
And I really wouldn't care about the people. Like, that would be like the last thing on my mind, unless it was like a family member or something. I really could care less about the inhabitants. I would just be more curious about like the structures and what does it look like today. I mean, there's a certain obviously tie in there with the people, but I wouldn't be like a gawking ghost or something where it's like, I'm just gonna sit here and watch you. And as much as I say I will screw with people, I really wouldn't be. I'd just be like, okay, answers that question about that place.
No, see, I would try and sneak as a ghost. I would try and go when supposedly everybody's either at work or at school, and you have the best chance of the house being empty.
Yeah. Then you could really confuse them. The pets just see you. It's like the cats are going nuts today, you know?
They're not going to tell anybody.
Although they do have the thing now where you can communicate with your pets.
Yeah.
Which is a whole other, we'll talk about that in a moment. Stamps.com. We've been using these guys for a while to get the bunk bed bells out. and still do. If you own a bunk bed, Bell, you sign up for the yearly EPP membership and you claim that. But they work for folks who aren't sending bunk bed bells out as well, because I think we're probably the only people in the world that send out bunk bed bells.
Yeah.
But
except the people that send them to us to send out.
Exactly. That would be the only two people in the world who are sending out bunk bed bells actively. But whatever you use the U.S. Postal Service for, you can do with Stamps.com, and probably more cost effectively as well. Stamps.com is the easiest way to access all the amazing services of the post office. Stamps.com never closes. You can print postage for letters and packages at your convenience 24/7. If you just get the inkling to wake up at 3:30 in the morning, blindly go into your office and print off postage and weigh a bunk bed bell, and then write a strange note with the bunk bed bell and drop it in the mail, you can do that.
Yeah.
I've done it before. I woke up at 3:30 in the morning. I had to write something down. I don't know what it was. It was like speaking in tongues almost, and I put it with the bell, and somebody's got a really weird mess. I'm kidding. But I do that sometimes. I get up at 3:30 and mail things. The exact amount of postage you get correct every single time. You never underpay and you never overpay. That's more important. Stamps.com saves you time, saves you money, which you can use to grow your business. Stamps.com brings all the amazing services, like I said, to the U.S. Postal Service right to your fingertips. You can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail using your own computer. It is so darn easy. We use Stamps.com because it saves time, it saves money. Right now, you can enjoy Stamps.com service with a special offer. It includes a 4-week trial plus postage. It's like free money almost, you know, and a digital scale. How do you get this? You just go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in GHOST. Spelled G-H-O-S-T for those of you playing along at home. Stamps.com and enter in GHOST. I say that because for the longest time when I was a child, I spelled GHOST wrong.
G-O-S-T?
I think that's how I was doing it.
Yeah.
I think that's how I spelled it on that book I have over there that I wrote when I was like Harper's age.
Which is so weird because you put a bunk bed in that book.
I know. I've known about this for 30 some years.
Yeah. Freaky.
The kids in my school were like, why do you think bunk beds are haunted? Little Timmy over there has a bunk bed. I'm like, well, maybe his isn't, but there's a great deal of them that are. And in 30 years, I will prove this to you on my podcast.
What's a podcast?
Yeah. Well, it's on this device called an iPod that's going to be coming out about 20 years from now.
What?
And I'd explain how that would all work out. And
I only wish you could see the future.
I had no idea I'd ever be doing this.
No.
I hoped I'd be able to play radio station at home for the rest of my life, but I ended up having to go into the real world and interact with people for a good 20 years of that.
Yeah.
And then I was able to go back home
and be a hermit
and play more radio station. Mm-hmm. And this has been by far, of all the stations I've worked at, the best audience I've ever had.
Sure.
You know, just the most kind, loyal, give a shit, you know, and quite honestly, sane.
Yeah.
As well, too. seriously, I mean, you know, because folks who don't listen to our show regularly, that's I think a label a lot of people like. Well, if they don't believe in ghosts, oh, they talk about ghosts, so it must be. No, I worked in stations that had nothing to do with ghosts. This is one of the most sane, normal, nice, kind audiences ever. And that's why I'm like, this is it. I'm done with everything else forever. This is the show that I will do to the grave.
Yeah.
That's a part of the pun there, the analogy. But
I see.
There you go. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Let's go to another caller. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, Brewski. This is Alexandra from Virginia. I just discovered your show a couple months ago and have been blowing through the episodes and hope to become an EPP when I get to the end of the ones I can get to. I'm kind of reluctant to tell this experience because I did not think this was paranormal until I heard the episode from, I think, last year, where a girl had called in and said that when she and her sister were little, there was some kind of entity that showed up as cartoon characters trying to trap her sister inside her room. And this is kind of like an experience I had when I was little. To start off with, I should probably say when I was little, I had a couple of things going on with stairs. One is that famously, a family legend is that when I was little, I said I did not want to go upstairs at my grandparents' house because I saw a lady up there. And we later found out that someone had actually died up there, and I have other relatives who probably could have, lived hard enough lives that they might be haunting up there. But, okay, so possible paranormal stairs. Would tell you that story if I remembered it, but I don't. The next thing is that I was just plain afraid of heights. This kind of varied from time to time while I was little. Sometimes I could go down all right if I went slow. Sometimes I would actually have to sit on my butt and scoot downstairs if I had to go down them. So anyway, a couple of issues I had with stairs when I was little. When I was 7 years old, my aunt had a baby, and she had complications from the delivery and was basically out of commission but at home for several weeks. It was over the summer. My mom was kind of the caretaker for all of us in the family. So she packed me up since I was on break, and we were over at my aunt's house every day in the next city over for about, I guess, 3 or 4 weeks so mom could do all the housework and help out. Well, my aunt's stairs were not very intimidating to me usually. They were carpeted. They weren't as steep as the stairs at, say, the farm where the old lady was that I saw when I was a toddler. And so it shouldn't have been a problem, but while she was taking care of my aunt and the kid, I would wander around the house, and the nursery was upstairs, and I wanted to go look at the nursery, but I kept seeing cartoon wolves on the stairs, and a specific kind of cartoon wolves. This is not like, Goofy or the one with from the Droopy Dog cartoons that we all saw when we were little. This was Rankin-Bass style animation. If anybody's seen the old animated The Hobbit or The Last Unicorn, that's the kind of thing I'm talking about. There were two of them at the top of the stairs. They looked like they were starving, like no wolf could literally look like this. They were so thin. They had like big fuzzy faces and then very, very thin bodies, and they were always snarling. The thing is, I didn't see them with my eyes. I kind of felt like they were there, and I knew I was imagining them, sort of, but I couldn't stop imagining them. So every time I tried to go up there, I would see or envision, I guess, these wolves. And my mom is a very logical person, and I don't like to look bad in front of her. So eventually I kind of logic to my way into getting past these. They never moved toward me. They would just be there. In my mind, and maybe not, every time I tried to go up there. So eventually I was like, this is ridiculous. I'm going to kind of plaster myself against the wall and edge up past these guys and get in there. And so I would try to do that like every day, every other day, as regularly as I could. And eventually I realized that they weren't going to do anything, although I would see them at the landing at the bottom of the stairs when I'd come back out from the nursery. Eventually this stopped, but I think it might have just stopped because we stopped taking care of stuff at that house. And like I said, I had never thought of this as being a paranormal thing. I kind of assumed in retrospect it was because I was no longer going to be the only grandchild on that side of the family, and I'm an only child, and maybe my feelings were so intense that it produced this thing. But I don't know. I wonder what you guys think about that, and I would appreciate any input you could give me. Thanks a lot. Love the show. Bye.
I think if I were a ghost and I wanted to scare a kid away from doing something without terrifying and scarring them for life, I would show up as something that would be fairly scary, but the cartoon version, like this.
Mm-hmm.
I wonder if something just didn't want her to play on the stairs.
And that's how it manifested.
Was just trying to keep her from the stairs.
I mean, it's in the same way, if a child's, if you're living and you're trying to prevent your child from doing something imminently dangerous and you don't exactly have the time to be like, let's talk about this.
Uh-huh.
It's more like, stop right now, and you have to essentially scare them to stop them, to not have them hurt themselves.
Right.
And that may, it's the same sort of principle, really, what you're talking about.
Scare them without scarring.
Scarring, yes. Scare without scarring.
Well, I kind of, I don't know. That may not be at all what was going on, but that's kind of what I was thinking.
I wonder. I think that there should now be, you're talking about farmhouse. What about haunted farmhouse as a design style?
That would just totally be my style.
That's kind of already what rustic farmhouse is, isn't it? I mean,
except I would throw in a little bit more of like gothic-y kind of details.
Really?
Not like goth, like black lipstick kind of goth, but sure. Like antique-y gothic. Kind of like those lanterns that you passed by today and asked if we were putting them in storage.
Oh, okay. Yeah, I could see that.
More things like that.
Okay. Not like Ouija boards on the wall.
No.
But yeah, I get what you're saying. Because a lot of the farmhouse you look today is fairly, you know, rusted, rustic. It doesn't look... When the style of farmhouse, it's so big right now.
Mm-hmm. And there's so many facets of it.
Yeah,
now.
Yeah. Is it... When it's emulated in ways that look rusted and kind of worn down, the original run of this, uh-huh. when somebody was in their farmhouse, uh-huh. The old style, the shiplap and all that, it wasn't necessarily an intentional look to make it look run down the first time.
No.
Now it's like, ooh, I like that look.
It's just...
Abandoned.
Well, not necessarily abandoned, but... used and worn,
yeah,
and
yeah.
You know, the look of the best we could do for the farmhouse without spending a lot of time working on the farmhouse because they had other things
sure.
to work on.
Sure.
So that's why in the farmhouse style, you'll see very nice things paired with very rustic things.
Mm-hmm.
You know, like in the kitchen, you'll see, you know, mom put her best china out, but it's the most beat up table that. Is all they had.
Yeah.
You know, things like that.
Sure.
So it kind of gives it kind of a creepy feel.
Which is kind of interesting because some of that, it is exactly what you said. It's like, there's not a lot of time to work on this. So it's kind of what we have. But now it's such a design style that people are spending a lot of time working on it.
It's so ironic because they spend a lot of time and a lot of money to create a very lived in, thrown together, fairly inexpensive look.
Yeah. It's the irony is kind of interesting.
It is.
Of it. Oh. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi, let's hear your ghost story.
Hi, so I wanted to tell a story. I am a twin, basically. So me and my sister, we have seen and heard things throughout our entire lives. My sister, she sees ghosts, and then I have only heard them. So my story is going to be about what I heard. I dated someone a few years back, and he lived in a house in the middle of the woods in Colorado Springs, Colorado. And he didn't tell me, he didn't preface this house with anything. He didn't tell me anything that had gone on. And so the first time that I visited this house, I felt very, very, very scared and very uneasy, and I didn't know why. I've had experiences prior to this experience, so with ghosts, and I just felt it. I felt those chills. I felt like I was scared. Anyways, long story short, we went to bed, and he lived in the basement of the house, and it was about three stories was this house, and then we went to sleep, and in the middle of the night, I woke up, and I didn't know why I woke up. I just woke up. And I started hearing like a little girl and a little boy, and I could hear running up and down the stairs to the basement. I kept hearing this running, and I was immediately paralyzed, frozen in fear. I could not move. I was so scared. And I just kept hearing running up and down the stairs, and I was so, so startled by it. Like I said, I couldn't move. I couldn't even wake him up to be like, oh, I'm freaking out right now. But anyway, so then they ran to the window. They kept running from the window to the bottom of the stairs to the opening of where the room was, because our door was open. And they kept running back and forth, back and forth, back and forth, and they were laughing, and I could just hear, and it was definitely, clearly a little girl and a little boy. And then I just remember all of a sudden I was just washed over with this feeling of being okay, but I was also washed over with this feeling of like It was just so supernatural. It was like I could feel the universe, which it sounds crazy. I'm not a crazy person, but like it was really weird. And so I woke up the next morning. Immediately I woke up. That's all I can like recall. And I shook him awake and I was like, I definitely heard a little boy and a little girl last night. I don't know if I'm crazy, but I definitely think this house is haunted. And he literally looks at me and he goes, "Give me one second." And I was like, "What?" And he walks upstairs and I could hear everything. Cause it was the kind of house where it was so big you could hear everything. And he literally goes upstairs and he talks to his mom and he's like, "Marissa saw the boy and the girl," and his mom, her response was, "Oh my God, I see them all the time." And I'm like, "Are you serious? No one told me this." And he's like, "Yeah, my mom, she sees them all the time." He came backstairs and he told me this, or back downstairs and he told me this, and he was like, "Yeah, she sees them all the time. Yeah, my grandma died in this house, so we see her too sometimes. It's all good. I don't think ghosts bother me. Like, he's never seen anything. He's like, they never talked to me, so I just never believed it. But if you saw them, yeah, that makes sense." Long story even shorter, a couple weeks later, he texted me with some pictures, and there was, like, this little crevice in his room that was boarded up, and he never paid attention to it. He just kept his stuff in front of it. But he decided one day that he was going to open it up, and it was like this crawl space in his room in the basement, which makes no sense why there was, it was on the floor. It wasn't like an attic or anything, and it wasn't a basement. It was this little crawl space attached to his wall that, and he opened it up, and the thing was an accident that he opened it up. He's like moving stuff, and then it just opened, and there was all these old paintings, like all these old paintings and old newspaper articles from like 80 years ago. It was so weird. And he texted me all the pictures and he was like, "Look at what I found." And yeah, basically it was just a very, very haunted apartment. So yeah, or haunted house, sorry, not apartment. But yeah, that's my story. Thanks so much. Bye.
Maybe the kids were somehow tied to the stuff that was found.
It's always weird when you go into a place and there's stuff.
Yeah.
It's like, why? Well, I mean, even when you're leaving, if there's stuff you don't want, I've never once left it.
No.
You know, it goes either, you know, good charity, Goodwill, dumpster. I mean, depending what it is, it's always just like, why is there still stuff here? Why did someone leave this here? Especially when it is something of like value.
Sure.
You know, of like, well, did you, when you want to come back and get this? Did you forget this? It's like, that's always just.
Maybe they left it because it is haunted.
Exactly. I mean, that's what I'm getting at is, mm-hmm. You know, I mean, how often is that the case? I don't know. It's just, I don't think I'd ever be really comfortable with whatever stuff is like left. Like, it's not like, ooh, great find. It's like, what's the deal?
So would you ever, if you were to have to buy a house again, and I don't foresee us ever having to do that again, but would you ever offer to purchase things within the house that you just really loved?
If it's like a pre-negotiated thing and it's like already in the house and it's not like an abandoned house, uh-huh. You know, it's like, yeah, the owners are moving out and maybe there's like a great couch in a certain room or something that just fits the room. It's going to be a bear to get it out of there. And it's going to be a bear to get a new one back in there. You know, things like that.
You wouldn't be afraid that something maybe is haunted?
Not if it's like, if I'm bringing it up and they're not coming to me going, "You want to buy this too?" You know, if I'm just like, this would totally work. Or if it's something that I know that I would be replacing myself or I need, I see nothing wrong with trying to negotiate some of those things in there if it makes sense. I'm not real big on getting other people's stuff. So yeah. So I can't really personally think of many situations where I would do that other than like a condo or a vacation property or something like that. And a lot of times that's how those work where it's like, yeah, vacation furniture comes with the place. But for, you know, and that stuff is usually fairly lightly used. In other situations, I don't have an issue with it if it's that sort of a setup.
Yeah.
I would be much more perturbed where it's like, well, they're done. They got all their stuff out of there. And there's like still like rooms full of stuff.
Sure.
That would be much more troubling to me, unless there's an explanation. Mm-hmm. Unless it's like, well, they were in their 90s. They have no family anymore. They don't have any means to get rid of it. And they, you know, if there's maybe some sort of an explanation, okay. Yeah. Not that it makes it okay that you just leave your stuff, but it would go a lot further than just, well, we don't know. It's yours now. you know, that would be a little more of a comforting situation.
Yeah.
You?
I mean, if it were like a vacation thing, sure. But yeah. I didn't realize people did that till we sold our last house and people were like, we want this and this too. I'm like, those things aren't for sale, but if it makes you buy the house, okay.
Where they were trying to, I think they wanted like patio furniture, didn't they?
Patio furniture. They wanted the giant chalkboard in the kitchen, which was actually affixed to the wall. They were like, going to get anyway.
It's not leaving this property.
Yeah. Just weird.
Is there anything else?
I didn't know people like shopped for the stuff in the house when they shopped for the house.
And you know, patio furniture is probably a fairly common one.
Yeah.
With homes. Because I mean, it's a way that it's like, depending on how expensive your patio furniture is, it either makes sense or not. Yeah. In some parts of the world, that's just how it's done.
Well, sure.
No matter what.
Sure.
It's, oh, and then this furniture came with this house. It's not even vacation homes. It's just, that's like, it's just the culture. Well, I couldn't tell you where, but I'll finish this thought. I don't mean to interrupt you. I had a friend who was, when they moved to Wisconsin, he was a radio guy. The house that they were selling, I believe it was in Texas or so, anyway, whoever came in and wanted the house, and I forgot he said where they were from, but it wasn't the United States, and it was somewhere across the pond. And they came in and they wanted everything, like everything. Their china, they wanted heirloom type stuff. I mean, they didn't want like their pictures or anything, but they wanted stuff that you would hold on to, like china and stuff that's like kind of yours, that's maybe display and kind of furniture-y, but not something you'd really sell. It wasn't just like, oh, we'd like your living room set. It was like everything. And they're like, no, we don't do that.
Did they sell any of their stuff?
I think they got a couple things unloaded because they were trying to downsize anyhow. Their kids had gone off to school and all that several years back, and they were ready to kind of get to a smaller set of stuff. But so they got some stuff gone. But he was telling me that story of just like how in depth they wanted to get and take their stuff, like down to like you leave your food, leave. It's like,
wow.
Okay,
that's nuts.
I think the same would be said of how we do it. Of if that's how your culture is and how you were brought up. I think if you went to a place where it's like, what do you mean you don't? So you mean like you travel, like you take a semi and move all your crap to another house?
Yeah.
Why would you do that? I mean, just take your like essentials, you know, why are you doing all? I mean, I think it all, it's perspective. And in some places, I think they think we're nuts. It just is. You say the same thing.
Yeah.
It's just about how it's done. It's an interesting thing when you understand that it exists, because it's one of those, unless you know it exists, it does seem rather odd from either perspective. I'm sure. 855-853-4802 is our number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. Hi.
Hey, Brewskies. This is Kelly calling from New Hampshire. I called in sometime today and I realized I left out some major points of my story, so I wanted to retell it. So basically, I've had like weird stuff happen to me since I was young, and I guess if you guys like my story, I will tell my stories in chronological order. So, when I was young, I lived in New Jersey, and there was this one time that I think like my dad was sick, so he snored a lot when he was sick. You know, he just had a cold. And so I guess my mom was like, you know, I'm not sleeping in there with him. I need to sleep for work. So she slept in the same bed as my brother. and I decided to sleep in the same bed as my dad because we were always really close, and I was like, yeah, and, you know, I could sleep through anything when I was younger. That is not the case now. I am such a light sleeper, but anyway, so, yeah, I was in my dad's room, and I always like to have water with me at night, and that night, for some reason, I didn't. I think it was just because I was in a different environment, a different room. So I woke up in the middle of the night, and I was really thirsty. So I went downstairs to get a glass of water, and the way my kitchen is, it was like the fridge was right near, like, the dining room, the entryway to the dining room. So I was getting water from the fridge, and right to the right is the dining room. So I was getting water, and then, like, something kind of caught my eye. So I looked in there, and all I saw was this, like, weird, this is going to sound so strange, but the only way I could describe it was, like, as this nurse clown, and it was, like, looking at me, and it was, like, jumping up and down. And it had, like, a stethoscope, you know? So, like, that's what gave me the inclination that it was a nurse. And, like, honestly could not tell you the gender. I did not know what that thing was. It was, like, hopping up and down, just looking at me, holding this freaking stethoscope. And I swear, it was the most creepy thing to this day that I might have ever seen. And I was just like, I just remember thinking, like, what the heck, and taking my water that was, like, halfway filled up and just sprinting upstairs, and I didn't even go back into my mom and dad's room. I went into my brother's room where him and my mom were sleeping, and I put the water on the floor and jumped right in the middle of them because I was so scared. And your question may be like, well, maybe this, you know, was this a dream? And I swear my whole life I've been, like, debating that in my mind. Like, was that a dream or was that real? And my logical mind wants to say that was a dream because, like, what the hell? How can that happen? And what was that? But I definitely, I don't know. If I haven't convinced myself by now that it was a dream, I don't think it was a damn dream. Like, and it just felt so real. And another reason why I don't think it was a dream was because when I woke up in the morning, the water that I got the night before was next to my brother's bed. And, like, I just don't know how to explain that. Like, it's so creepy. I was so creeped out. Like, a nurse clown thing jumping up and down. It was so scary. And I never saw anything like that ever again in that house, but I definitely really had other weird moments. I guess I kind of feel like my, like, intuition to see those sort of things has, like, knock on wood, completely dissipated, because I would not want to see, I don't want to see anything ever again. And I was too chicken of this to say this in my house, so I'm in the car. But yeah, so that's my first really weird thing that happened to me. I hope you guys like this. It'd be awesome to hear it on podcast. I listen on Spotify every day at work. I'm serious. You two have become a part of my routine. I love your podcast so much, and seriously, like, you two are just awesome, and I love Jenny's insight. So, not that I don't like your insight, Tony, but so I hope to hear from you guys, you know, hear your feedback about this. But thank you so much for having the show. And before I was like, no, something like that can never happen, like a nurse clown. But after hearing this podcast, I'm like, damn, that was probably a thing that happened to me when I was like 7. So, yeah. Thanks for listening. All right. Bye, guys.
I think that sounds so terrifying. I don't even know what that is. My only thought was, can people have nightmares as they're sleepwalking?
I guess. I wouldn't have any reason to say no.
Because my only thought was maybe she was sleepwalking and this was a nightmare.
Almost like sleep paralysis where you're seeing things that are out there.
Yeah.
When they're really not.
Because people can do things when they're sleepwalking. Like mm-hmm. they can, you know, make their way to the bathroom and go to the bathroom or, you know, go to the bathroom someplace they're not supposed to. That happens too.
Sure.
You know, things like that. Do things when they're sleepwalking. I wonder if she was sleepwalking to get water and then had this nightmare.
And had that vision, essentially.
Uh-huh.
It could very well be the explanation. I think that would be the more comforting of the explanations.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, looking back on this and not being terrified forever. But yeah, that's some very interesting imagery.
That would be terrifying for you, wouldn't it?
It would be. Still kind of disturbed by it. Let's go watch It.
No.
As a family.
Uh-uh.
With everybody. Great fun for the whole family.
No.
Would you watch the new one?
No.
No?
No.
Even just with me?
No.
I'm not saying with the children.
I'm not going to watch that.
Can I watch it?
By yourself? Sure.
In the house without it
knock
being...
Knock yourself out. Okay. I'm not worried about that one.
Just The Conjuring?
Yeah.
I have to watch in the woods?
Yeah.
With the rabid fox?
Go sit in your truck. Watch it.
Go sit in my truck and watch it. Wouldn't you just like freak out if I'm sitting there in my truck watching it in the driveway and like the truck gets hit by something?
That would not surprise me.
It's like, how? And you'd be like, I told you so.
Yeah.
But that's how it would go.
Yeah.
All right. 855-853-4802 is our phone number here at Real Ghost Stories Online. That wraps up today's episode of the program. If you like the show, help us stay on the air. Become an EPP Extra Podcast Person. You sign up to do that at our website, ghostpodcast.com. You can do it right through the website, or you can do it through Patreon. The link is there. Either way, you get access to our bonus episodes every single week, a brand new one every single week posted there for you to download, and access to all the previous ones as well. Almost up to getting closer and closer to 200 EPP bonus episodes. So check it out, ghostpodcast.com. Until next time, for Jenny Brewski, I'm Tony Brewski. Thanks for listening to another episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.